If you have your scriptures with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of John this morning. We're continuing our way through the Gospel this morning. We're in chapter 18 this morning. We're in verses 28 through 40. If you'd like to follow along, there's a pew Bibles there beside you or in front of you, and it's on page 904, I believe. Our theme this Advent season follows the introduction that John gives at the beginning of his gospel. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and his own people did not receive him. But yet, to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. People like Mary, people like Joseph, like the shepherds, like the Magi, they understood. They knew the Spirit of God was working in them and moving, that this child was special and unique. The last 2 weeks we've seen these truths play out, this idea that the world didn't recognize him and the world didn't want him. 2 weeks ago we looked at Judas, who betrayed Jesus with a mob of soldiers. He betrayed him with a kiss. Jesus was shamed, he was mocked, he was beaten and unjustly tried before the high priest. And last week we saw Peter, one of Jesus' close one, who was most bold in proclaiming who Jesus was. It wasn't too long before this event that Peter said that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And last week we saw not once, not twice, but three times Peter said, I don't know this guy. Jesus, who's Jesus? He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. We're witnessing and understanding more and more of Jesus's what we call passive obedience. He's surrendering himself. He's going quietly as a sacrificial lamb on behalf of his people. And these things are all occurring during the Passover festival, so I wanted to keep this in your mind. So they're celebrating the Passover festival. It was like a 7-day feast. It was a time to remember, to celebrate what God had did through Moses, a different deliverer. Delivered God's people from the hand of Pharaoh and in Egypt. He wanted his people to be let go so that they could come and worship him. And Pharaoh refused time and time again, even though God would send plagues over and over again. Pharaoh would harden his heart until the last plague, when God sent the angel of death. He said, the angel of death is coming and he will take out the firstborn of all of Egypt. If you don't want that to happen to you and your family, he said, get a lamb. A spotless lamb, an unblemished lamb, and sacrifice and put the blood on the doorposts that night to cover your house to show that an innocent, spotless lamb has died in your place. So that when the angel of death would pass over, he would see that blood and not go to that house and bring death and destruction to that house. Jesus, as he's going through this and surrendering himself, is being the fulfillment of the Passover lamb and all the sacrifices that the Old Testament pointed to. Today we'll hear and it will be declared that Jesus is sinless. In Jesus there is no guilt. He's pure. He's spotless. He's unblemished. In Jesus you will see the living reality of truth and all that is good. So we're going to pray and then we're going to read through this text, verses 28 to 40. And think of on some of these things as we read. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we pray that you would direct our time and our attention as we look into your word. This is your word, not man's word. This is your word. Things you want us to know, to understand, to grasp. The God of who you are that would come and love a wicked, wicked world. So full of sin and selfishness and pride. They would come and break our hearts and give us hearts that were fleshy, that would understand and grab these realities so that we would turn from the wickedness that so destroys us and those around us. And yet to give us a freedom, a forgiveness that's only found in trusting in Christ. So guide us and teach us this morning, we pray, as we look into these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Verses 28 through 40. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered the headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not of this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I was born." We talk about Christmas. This is what we celebrate at Christmas. "I was born for this purpose. I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. This ends our reading for this morning. May God bless it. Jesus is the living reality of truth and all that is good. This morning I want us to consider the concept of truth. What is it? If someone were to ask you, what is truth, how would you define it? And then when it comes to ultimate truth in regards to how did I get here, what purpose am I here for, why do things seem so messed up in my life and all around me, and what's the end game of my life, who or what will you turn to for answers? Well, in a nutshell, someone helped us to define truth, and he said it like this: truth is that which corresponds with reality. Truth is that which corresponds with reality. It's not based on how you feel. It's not based on what the majority or society thinks, and we've seen that play out through history, haven't we not? Where some people thought a certain way of living was right, and in the end it was wicked and wrong. Truth is not based on just having good intentions. You could have all the right intentions about something and be absolutely wrong. It's not based on whether you like it or not, but truth is that which corresponds with reality. Francis Schaeffer called it true truth. This morning, Jesus makes the claim that he has come to bear witness to the truth. And earlier in John, he claimed that "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And what he's been saying all along, if you want to understand how you got here, if you want to understand why things are so messed up in your life, you want to understand how you can have forgiveness and be right with God, he says, listen to me. Jesus always told the truth, and he did it in love. Sometimes it was a harsh correction to the religious leaders, and he called them out that those who were trying to teach the things of God, they were absolutely wrong, and he would say so. And other times he would do it with a gentleness, but yet serious warning, like the woman who was caught in adultery. He goes up to her and says, "I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. Don't keep doing this." He always told the truth. He was the embodiment of truth. Christmas is about truth, ultimate truth. Mankind was made by Christ and for Christ. Mankind is lost in its sin and rebellion against God, and Jesus came to rescue us from the wrath that we deserve, to give us people forgiveness, life, and peace. These are bold claims from a man from Nazareth. But these are realities that need to be considered. They're realities that need to be accepted. They're realities that need to move you towards Christ. In Jesus, you find truth. That's where truth relies. And if you receive him and you receive his teaching and his truth, you will find life, everlasting life, joy, and even in this life as you live and struggle through the trials and the frustrations of all the things around you. And when you find life, you'll have peace. And as we go through this text this morning, I want you to consider that we have to be aware of our own self-deception, our first point. We must be aware of our own self-deception. Look at verse 28 again. It says, "Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, 'What accusation do you bring against this man?' They answered him, 'If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you.' Pilate said to them, 'Take him yourselves, judge him by your own law.' The Jews said to him, 'It's not lawful for us to put anyone to death.' And this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show what kind of death he was going to die." It's probably about 6 a.m. in the morning. It's been a long, long night for Jesus. It's early in the morning, the text says. The chiefs have gotten done interrogating Jesus before the high priest. And Matthew in Matthew 26 gives us some details of this interrogation. The only thing the council was trying to do is put Jesus to death. They were hearing all kinds of lies and false testimonies about him. But nothing would stick. Nothing was believable. And finally, two people came forward and said, "Jesus said that he would tear down the temple and rebuild it again." And that's not what Jesus said at all. Jesus said, "You destroy the temple, and I'll build it up." And he's referencing his body. And so the high priest is sitting there waiting, and he's listening. He says, "Jesus, don't you have anything to say? Do you have nothing to say?" And Jesus stands there quietly until the high priest says, "I adjure you by the living God, are you the Christ?" And Jesus says, "Yep. That's just as you said. In a matter of moments, you're going to see me reigning and ruling in the clouds of heaven, just like Daniel said in chapter 7. And the chief priest gets enraged and he tears his robes and he just says, "Blasphemy! Do we need to hear any more? This man claims to the Messiah. Let's kill him." That's their only desire. Did Jesus do anything wrong? Not one thing. Jesus went on and told the truth that he was the Messiah, and they couldn't believe their ears, and so they're rushing him to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Once they get to the headquarters, they don't enter into the headquarters. They get there, and they don't want to go into the headquarters. Why? They don't want to be defiled. So that they could eat and celebrate the Passover, what was remaining of it. See, Jewish people had this understanding that it was unlawful. It would make them unclean if they would go into a Gentile's house. They wouldn't be able to participate in worship until they went to the ceremonial washings and cleanings. They understood that. But do you see the absurdity? Do you see the absurdity of what's going on? Do you see how they are self-deceived? Here they go put Jesus through a kangaroo court that's full of lies and deceptions, and they're perfectly okay with killing an innocent man. That is okay. But if I go into this guy's house, I'm going to be unclean. They are self-deceived. And so it's something that we must be mindful of ourselves. It's easy to look at others and see their self-deception, but are there areas in your lives where you're self-deceived? Perhaps you think that attending worship is good and God must look down at you with pleasure since you're here this morning. Yet all the while through the week, you're doing things that are heinous and detestable in God's eyes. When you think you're okay. Whether it would be constantly lying, constantly sexual immorality, constantly greed, constantly demeaning talk coming out of your mouth. If that is you, please wake up. You're not tricking God. You're just deceiving yourself, and you need to turn from those lies and wickedness and receive the grace and mercy that can be yours in Christ. He just wants you to be honest and wake up and turn from those things that are destroying yourself and others around you. Don't be self-deceived. Listen to Jesus. So they take Jesus to Pilate, And he's like, you deal with Jesus. And they're like, well, we want him dead, and we are not allowed to stone him. You have to crucify him. And so they are actually fulfilling what Jesus would say, that he would be lifted up on the cross. So with the Jews saying that Jesus needed to be put to death, now Pilate questions Jesus. Look at verse 33. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, do you say this of your own accord, or do others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world. And we see that Jesus is saying that his kingdom is radically different than the kingdoms of the world. Pilate begins questioning him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus starts to ask him the questions. Jesus becomes the interrogator. Did you say this of your own thinking? Are you thinking, Pilate, or others bring this to your attention? And Pilate's like, I'm not a Jew. I don't care about you. Don't you know they handed me over to you? Are you a king? And Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. If they were, they would be fighting. You guys wouldn't have a chance. My kingdom is not of this world. You don't need to worry, Pilate. This is the plan. This is things I have to go through. What did Jesus mean when he said, my kingdom is not of this world? Well, he's acknowledging that he is a king. He's acknowledging that he has servants. But his kingdom is heavenly and with a different agenda. He is a king that is above all earthly kings, and he is a king that's now laying down his life for his people. A king is one who protects and rescues his people from their enemies. And Jesus the king is doing this now. He's rescuing his people from sin and death. His kingdom is not of this world. And his conquering reign is the result of his sacrifice and his spirit moving in the hearts of his people. He didn't come conquering with swords and armies. As J.C. Rouse said, he came armed with no other weapon but truth. John Schaff has a great, great quote here. He says, the Jesus of Nazareth, without money, without arms, conquered more millions than Alexander, Caesar, Muhammad, and Napoleon. Without science and learning, he shed more light on matters human and divine than all philosophers, scholars combined. Without the eloquence of schools, he spoke such words of life as were never spoken before or since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of an orator, poet. Without writing a single line, he set more pens in motion and furnished themes for sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, songs of praise, than a whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. Jesus of Nazareth. At the beginning of his ministry, one of the disciples said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Think of the effects and ramifications Jesus has had on this world. His kingdom is radically different. Will you listen to him? Because he says his is the authority in whom we must listen to. His is the authority we must listen to. Look at verse 37. Pilate said to him, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. And for this purpose I was born. And for this purpose I came into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Are you listening? There's a lot of information out there. There's lots of religious ideas out there. There's lots of philosophical ideas out there. In the age of social media, there's so much distorted and biased information out there. The question is, are you listening to Jesus? Pilate is living in a time where people were worshiping all kinds of different gods. The philosophies of Plato and Aristotle have been looming around. And Jesus now says, I was born, i.e. Christmas, I was born to bear testimony to the truth. And he's saying, all ultimate reality moves through me, Pilate. Paul goes on to write about this in Colossians in chapter 1 and chapter 2. It's a great book, four chapters. If you want a great book to read this week, read Colossians in the New Testament. It's high on who Christ is. This is what Paul says. He says in chapter 2, he says, In Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You want wisdom and knowledge for life and understanding this world and how it works and operates? He says it's in Jesus. All of it resides in Jesus. In Colossians 1:15, he says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. All things were created in heaven and earth by him and for him, whether visible or invisible. Everything was created by Christ for him and through him. He's before all things, and all things hold together in Christ. It says, for in him all the fullness of God was well pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile, to make things right. Everything that's broken in our relationships with one another and God, he came to reconcile to himself all things, making peace by his blood on the cross. That is why he came. Jesus came to reveal truth. Jesus made you. That's how you got here. Why does it seem like everything's messed up and distorted with all the disease, brokenness, and sin and frustration? Because of our selfishness. Because of mankind's rebellion against God. We're lost in our ways. We're blind to our own sin. And without hope except for Christ would come. He would come. And he's saying, only I can save you. Only I can give you a new heart, a new thought pattern. Only I can satisfy. Only I can defeat death. Only I can give you a clear conscience. All your sin is removed. I found this on Facebook this week. Scientists say you need four elements to live. You need four elements: water, air, food, and light. And Jesus says, I am living water. Jesus is the one who gives the breath of life. Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and I am the light of the world. In Jesus, all things hold together. Do you have ears to hear Jesus? Do you listen to Jesus? I pray that you do. And Jesus understood that it was a double-edged sword. For him being innocent and truthful in this world, some will see it as beautiful and it'll change everything about them. But others, they will cry for its death. They'll cry for Jesus' death and truth's death so they can live in the darkness of their sins. But he came anyways to rescue you. He came anyways to rescue you. Look at the text. It says, after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews. And then verse 29, he says, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release a man to you at Passover. So do you want me to release Jesus, the King of the Jews? And they cried out, not this man. No, but Barabbas. You see, Pilate senses the otherness of Jesus. He's a little bit uncomfortable. He understands that Jesus is not a normal man. And he finds no guilt in him, none. And Pilate should have released him, but Pilate gives in to the demands of the majority. He's a weak ruler. There's always this consternation between him and the Jewish people, and he didn't want to offend Caesar and everybody else. So he says, do you want me to release Jesus, who's innocent? Or do you want to release Barabbas, who actually has done something? Release Barabbas. Jesus was in the world. The world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own people did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, who all believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. If this is making sense, if God is awakening in you these things, that you hear his voice, that you've been deceiving yourself, that his kingdom is radically different, that he's one who can bring living hope, that there's meaning and purpose to the cross, that this idea of shedding innocent blood makes me clean, you can become a child of God. John 3:16, for God so loved this world, this wicked, wicked world, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him should have everlasting life. He did not send this world to condemn the world, but in order to save it through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe in him is condemned already. You will remain lost in your sin if you don't listen to Jesus? Are you listening to him? This week, examine your heart. Are you deceiving yourself in some area? You're coming to worship, which is good. But how's your faith playing out in life? Remember, these guys thought they were okay with God. They're going to put an innocent man to death. They're going to put all kinds of lies and false testimonies about him. And they thought they were okay. Need to wake up. Our society needs to wake up. That's easy to see. But I want us to examine our own hearts. Now, even if you're a follower of Christ, and maybe you're just stuck in some kind of sin. You're stuck in it. And you don't recognize it. I pray that he pierces your soul today. He wants you to have life. He wants you to have joy. He wants you to turn from those things that promise such happiness, but they only enslave you. And realize that his kingdom is different, that it's not of this world. He's come to lay down his life for you. Will you listen to him? Truth is that which corresponds with reality, and Jesus is truth. It all flows through him. It's all through him. In Jesus, you will find truth. And if you receive him and his truth, you will find life. And when you find life, that's when you'll have peace. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we pray that you would speak to our hearts and our minds this morning. We have much to consider before you. Spirit of God, I pray that your spirit would move in our hearts and our minds, not only to see the depths of where we deceive ourselves, but the mercies that can be ours in Christ. Jesus knew all this time. And it's why he's surrendering and laying down his life. Lord, we thank you for the accomplished righteousness that Jesus achieved, sinless. That when we trust him by faith, that goes on our record that we are sinless in Christ. And that as Jesus goes to the cross, he places upon him all the sin and the penalty that's sin upon himself, that he could say, it is finished. The debt has been paid in full. Lord, help us to remember that Jesus was born to bear witness to this truth. Help us to receive it. Help us to be full of praise and honor of it and thanksgiving. Help us to tell that news to others this Christmas, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.